Hey, what's going on, Barroom? It's Cars here for this week's installment of Cars Keys for week two against Denver. You know, we have to move on, obviously, past what the atrocity of last week was, and kind of focus on our new opponent, and our new opponent has a little bit of the old to it. So let's just go ahead and dive right on in.
The following program is suitable for all audiences.
And obviously the first key to this game is the most obvious, and that's, can the offense show up this week? You know, there's a lot to dissect. You know, Phil did the Tape Never Lies segment on Mitch, and I'll say that, you know, Mitch did make some good throws. It makes me feel a little bit better. But if you also look at that, to me, most of those throws are coming on first looks, right? First reads, first guy that he's in the progression. If that guy's open or he thinks he's going to be open, Mitch looks a lot better. That didn't carry over when he had to move on to next reads. And some of that was offensive line. I think some of that was wide receiver. You know, we had a problem with drops. A little bit, and I'll touch a little bit more on that later as well. So, you know, the offense definitely needs to show up. And, you know, when we look at what happened this past week for Denver against Oakland, you know, a lot was made about how they attacked that offense, and it really started off early. You know, so the Raiders did go up and throw 357 yards up on that Broncos team, but 219 of that came in the first half. Right, that's where they were found the most consistency. That's where they were actually getting along. And yes, while they did have a 5-play, 60-yard touchdown drive in the second half, that's also where they saw drives of 9, 26, and 19 yards. And so, even though I could argue that the Denver defense is three guys named Chubb, Miller, and Harris, and a bunch of also-rans, that maybe you can throw in a Derek Wolf is at least a competent guy on the inside. They really did make adjustments in that second half. And if it weren't for an incompetent offense that they have, I think Denver's defense would have looked a lot better. But what Denver really failed to do early on and throughout the entire game was generate any sorts of pressure. You know, it's been said over and over that Chubb and Miller didn't register any sacks. Well, guess what? They didn't register a single quarterback hit. In fact, the entire Broncos defense didn't register a single quarterback hit. And when you look at some of the advanced numbers, you know, Derek Carr went through and went and got the ball out on average 2.33 seconds after snap. So just think, right? It's 1, 2, 3 out. Maybe a small little bounce to make something happen, but they weren't taking a ton of 5-step, 7-step drops. They weren't allowing Chubb and Miller to go ahead and tee off. Carr was getting out, you know, an average air depth of just under 8 yards. If we want to look at those numbers comparatively, like last week, Mitch was a full 0.2 seconds behind Carr in time to throw. He was over 0.5 yard longer in average air depth, right? So he was waiting a little bit longer and trying to make a deeper throw. Oakland's attack was just to keep them guessing, to keep them churning. And they peppered that in with a run game that was, you know, well, not effective overall. You know, if you look at Josh Jacobs' numbers, he had 2 runs over 10 yards. He had a total of 3.7 yards per carry. What they did was they actually continued to run even though it wasn't working. Jacobs saw 12 carries in the first half. He saw 11 carries in the second half. They kept going to him to keep the defense off balance. And if there's something that we wanted last week out of Nagy, that would have been a dedicated focus to the run game. And that certainly wasn't happening. But that's going to be more than necessary to keep those two premier edge rushers off of our quarterback. Now, that game plan also works because outside of those two and Chris Harris, there really isn't a whole lot to be afraid of. Isaac Yiadom, who was stuck at corner with Callahan being out, was just torched all day.
Carr lofts one, air underneath for Waller, and he goes up and makes the grab. Able to beat Isaac Yiadom on the play.
That's a matchup, and I'll get into that one as a matchup that I'm looking for. You know, that's a matchup that they should exploit. If Trey Burton is able to play, you know, he should be able to expose the inside linebackers, who are more run-thumping guys to me than necessarily pass-covering guys. I'd like to sit down here and say that Adam Shaheen should have a breakout game. I've been intrigued by him. I kind of liked that move, but he's kind of running out of time for me. So if he does something, this is a game to get things started. They don't have someone that can match up with him size-wise. If they do, that means they're probably taking a Chubb or a Miller off of a pass rush to drop into coverage. So that should be something that could be exploited, but candidly, I just can't rely on that anymore. And when we continue on, right, this should be a game where the running backs should be a focus in the run game and less of the pass game. We'll get, again, into that a little bit more here in a second. But there are places all over that this can be exploited, but it has to start up front. You know, I know that Leno got a lot for playing pretty soft. I know that Massey probably was your best tackle, but to me, the interior of the line, if you really want to get this going, if you really want to move, Daniels, White, Heron, Long have to do a tremendous job of communicating, and they did not do that. They have to get to ceiling blocks. They have to get to the second level. This is a Broncos defense that I think is going to set up to stop the run, but there should be run plays to be had. And being able to go three deep in running backs with three different styles, it's not going to allow the Denver defense to get comfortable with specific looks and specific play calls. So if the Bears offense is going to show up, that has to happen. But I think step two is kind of a continuation of that, is who's going to step up. And this is where we're going to talk a little bit about some of the passing numbers. I love Allen Robinson. I think he could have had probably three or four more catches, including one of his drops, but there were several other plays where he was open. I think he could have had a bigger game, and I think that's really important, right? You need that number one, and I think we see from Allen that he is a number one. He might not be a premier number one, but I'll tell you what, he's a number one wideout. But we passed the ball 44 times last week, right? And we all know that that was an imbalance, but what would I tell you if 13 of those attempts went to Allen Robinson? And 18 of those attempts went to the running backs. Second on this team in targets was Tariq Cohen. Mike Davis was actually third with 7. And David Montgomery had all of 1, but it was obviously the most explosive one from a running back. Taylor Gabriel, to me, I think our increased focus or his desire to be a number two is, while admirable, he just can't be our number two wideout. He's a great guy. You love him. He's a fighter, but he has to leave his feet so many times to make a catch, right? His diminutive size is a bit of issue in that department, but he lacks some of the body control. You know, we saw him make a key drop on a pass that he very clearly should have dropped. There was another play on the sidelines, right, where a larger receiver with better body control makes that catch and comes down with 2 feet. It's just not his skill set, and it's a shame that Nagy is basically expecting him to be that. That really comes back to Anthony Miller. You know, if you looked at the snap count last week, what would you think if I told you that Anthony Miller had less snaps than Javon Wims? Miller was on the field for 16 plays in a game where Trey Burton was out. Now, some of that is an indictment of Nagy again, but one of the things that's kind of, and we've talked about on the bar room several times this offseason, is a name that's shown up several times as a guy who needed to be lined up, needed to be corrected, needed to have extra coaching, was Anthony Miller. And so was he not on the field because he's recovering from injury, or was he not on the field because the Bears still can't trust him to know where he's supposed to be and to be in the right place in the right time? You know, if you looked at his season and what he did with basically one arm last year, you would have thought he was prepared to have that breakout, that he was prepared to make that next step. But one target in 16 snaps is just not going to do it. And if you looked around the league, right, look what Michael Gallup and Cortland Sutton and DJ Chark, and even to a lesser extent DJ Moore did in week one. These guys put up numbers. Gallup, Sutton, and Chark all went over 100 yards, all made big plays. DJ Moore saw, I think, 10 or 11 targets and 8 catches. They used him in a multitude of different ways. You know, they set the tone for a very positive season. We need Anthony to do the same. You know, for this offense to truly take off, we need that second wideout. You know, we need that guy who's going to sit up and be, you know, opposite of Cooper Kupp, right? Or we need a guy that's going to be the opposite of Michael Thomas. We need someone that's going to take some attention and potentially give Mitch someone on the other side of the field that he's going to feel confident with. And if groin injuries are going to be something that's a season-long concern with Trey Burton, you know, Anthony has to be that guy. We paid a price to move up and get him. He was a guy that looked like a very solid route runner. He competed, but I'll be candid, right? And looking at what his offseason has been and a lot of the constant Instagrams of partying and all that, and maybe I'm just now officially getting old and probably should get off the Instagram and everything else, but was the focus there that he needed? And if it's not, how quickly can he flip that switch? You know, Isaac Udom should not be able to cover this guy. It just shouldn't be what happens. You know, this is a matchup that should be a nightmare for them, that the Bears should be able to exploit time and time again. And while Chris Harris is very good, and I don't want to take away from that with Allen having a leaping ability, this should be a place where we start to establish some consistency in the passing game. But all of that's going to matter whether or not Anthony Miller is going to show up. Because I could tell you, after watching last week, Anthony Miller is the key. Allen Robinson is going to blow up over this season. He might not put up that 1,400-yard season, but I'll tell you, he's putting up 1,000. He's going double-digit touchdowns. And what's really going to make that even more effective is Anthony Miller can step up.
And Rodgers in the pocket with a pump fake. And down he goes for the moment. That's Roy Robertson Harris who got there. Tony Corrett.
Last key is, let's show the Broncos what a real defense can do. You know, the Raiders started off strong, but faded over time. They just don't have the talent on defense to compete. They just couldn't make much of a dent. And so the Denver Bronco line is terrible. And with Juwan James out most likely for this week, that's a matchup that they should exploit. But we also have an advantage in the fact that Bronco coordinator Scangarello is in his first year of being an offensive coordinator. This is a guy with 4 years experience in total in an NFL staff, with one of those years being in 2009. The last 2 years, he's been the quarterback coach at the San Francisco 49ers, and his game plan week one was questionable at best. He ran into a lot of the Nagy. While his overall running numbers look better, right, because they split carries between Lindsay and Freeman, there were too many long stretches where, and especially in a game that was never a blowout, that he abandoned the run. You have to watch out for them, though. Even though their offensive line should be something that be manhandled and dominated, and even though that Joe Flacco has never been the quarterback he's been paid to be, he still has an arm. And he still has a lot of weapons around him, whether it's Cortland Sutton again, who had a big blow game. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, who's speedy, who's just always a second away from getting behind a defender and taking it to the house. You know, while Noah Fant did struggle a lot last week in pass blocking and run blocking as an in-blind tight end, the way that they can get to him in the passing game, he's a mismatch piece, and the Bears really need to be aware of that. So what they have to dominate this game up front, and they did a phenomenal job of that last week, right? They hit Aaron. They made Aaron look terrible. There's one play, and everyone wants to talk about Deion Bush being in the game and all that, and there's obviously a lot to dissect there, but they gave up one play in four quarters. You're going to take that. And so if they want to establish their identity, they want to show how dominant they are, this is, again, a game. You know, last week, this is not an attempt to pat myself on the back, but I talked about two guys that I expected to be keys to the game were Roy Robertson Harris and Leonard Floyd. Harris set the tone early. Floyd kept coming late. You know, this is a defensive line that should control the line of scrimmage. They should make guys miss. They should not let guys make them miss. They shouldn't be missing tackles. These should be in constant attack mode, because Joe Flacco is a statue. And while he does have a cannon for an arm, and he can struggle with some inconsistencies, you know, last week my favorite play is he took a throw that would have been an easy first down and threw it so off target that it actually ended up being a 2-yard loss. These are the things that he can do when he's pressured, and what happens when you keep hitting him. Now, I'm going to expect that Vic is going to get into his first-time coordinator's year a little bit and make him try to establish the run early, so it's going to be very important for Roquan to really show up and continue to fill, and Danny Trevathan to do the same thing. But I think if they could set the tone and make this team as one-dimensional as the Raiders try to do, I think that this should be another strong showing for our defense. For the key matchups for this week that I'm really interested in watching, first is going to be Sutton versus Fuller.
Raiders bring some pressure. Zipped in across the middle. It's Cortland Sutton again.
You know, Sutton is a mismatch nightmare. He's 6'4". He's 216. He's got really good hands, leaping ability. He's got speed. They're trying to find creative ways to get him the ball. And Fuller really had probably one of his better games against Davante Adams last week. So I'm wanting to see him step up against that and continue to make those plays. I think Flacco can get baited into making some errant throws, but it's going to be on him. He's going to have a long day ahead of him, and he knows it. Second is going to be what we talked about earlier in the Bears offense. It's going to be Anthony Miller versus Isaac Yiadom. I think it's a key matchup for me because I expect Allen to perform. You know, I just think week in, week out, he's going to be your guy. We need that to step up. And seeing, you know, a bunch of no-name guys on the Raiders exploit Yiadom in the passing game, I think it's the other place that has to happen. And I wouldn't be a cheesy enough Bear fan if I didn't say the other key matchup I'm looking forward to is Nagy versus Vic. Look, Nagy got outcoached last week by Pettine. He got confused, he got dominated, he never adjusted, he got stubborn. There's a whole lot of words for what happened. Vic's a seasoned vet. He knows what to do. You know, this game is going to tell us, as much as it will about the growth of Mitch and Anthony, it's going to tell us about Nagy. He's got to start learning to stack plays, to be consistent, to do all of these things. He's not Andy Reid yet. He can get there, but and hopefully Andy Reid with a Super Bowl, but he can get there. But he's really got to step up that game plan. And he's going to get attacked. And he's going to get confused. And he's got to remember what's going to get us there and where our talent truly is. My breakout players, I think, should be obvious that this one I'm looking this to be the Anthony Miller breakout game. I think just the way he competes, the way he fights, the way his ego is, only seeing one, you know, one target, only seeing 16 snaps. I think he's going to come out hungry. And you almost have to wonder if that was a bit of a motivation game for him last week. But I really look at Anthony Miller to have that game, to really maybe even eclipse Allen in overall yardage today, because he's just going to be that focused and potentially that dominant. Second breakout player for me is going to be Roquan. If you look at what Denver wants to do, they've got two very good running backs. They're going to try to make a lot happen in the run game. Roquan's going to have to be there to clean up everything that goes on in front of him. He's going to have to make plays, right? He's going to have to cover Noah Fant in a lot of different passing matchups. This is extremely important. This is another breakout game. He started off strong. We need him to stack game after game after game. And I really expect that this is going to be kind of a Roquan blowing up game. And last but not least, and it's in a way cheating, I think this is going to be a big Akeem Hicks game. With the way that Denver Bronco line is just beat up, they're not very talented. You know, they've got Wilkerson, I think, lining up from him, and he did not look good last week. I think this is a game where you're going to see him finally start to beat up on guys and make his presence felt. I obviously was a little too confident last week in predicting a final score, but I'm going to go back to it. I feel for whatever reason, and it's probably because I drink the Kool-Aid as much as most of my Bear fans, I'm looking at a 27-13 victory for the Bears. I think they have to put the foot down quick. They have to step on the accelerator. They have to make things happen. But this game isn't going to make or break our season, but it's definitely going to tell us which direction our season is headed. So thanks everybody for listening in this week to Cars Keys. Looking forward to always talking with you on Twitter and getting any of your feedback. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at CarsKeys1. But otherwise, we'll talk to you again after the week. Later.